Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 19th of October 2016 as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to Instagram and follow me at Rillo Gerald Quinn. iTunes.apple.com is also where you can pick us up on iTunes at Cyril Gerald, at the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. So a lot of ways to catch up with the program. Past episodes as far as back as 2008. If you want to go back that far, well, not on iTunes, but on the Blog Talk Radio website. A lot to do in the next 45 minutes or so. Mostly NFL, but we're going to get to the baseball. Cleveland advances to the World Series today with a 3-0 shutout over the Toronto Blue Jays, who nobody outside of a Toronto fan can stand. I mean, Toronto talks, you know, Jose Bautista talking about the pitcher goes out and basically throws 4.5 shutout innings, had never made a postseason start in his career, and shuts Toronto down as Cleveland advances to the World Series. And it just goes to show you, you know, you can have all the offense in the world. Postseasons are determined by pitching, bullpen, clutch hitting, and defense. I mean, look what Cleveland's done here in these 8 games against 2 of the better offensive teams in baseball in Boston and Toronto. They've held them to 8 runs. In 15 runs in 8 games. This series was over after game 3. You know, if you can't beat a team when they've lost a starting pitcher after the guy has to leave the game with the stitches in his hand, and you can't get to their bullpen in 8 2/3 innings, then you're not going to win the series. And at that point, again, I thought 2-0 it was over, but after game 3. When Toronto was able to do nothing against the Cleveland bullpen, it was pretty much a wrap. Congratulations to the Cleveland Indians. It could be the year for Cleveland. I mean, LeBron's already brought home a championship to the Cavaliers. Now the Cleveland Indians are trying to win their first championship since 1948. I mean, you're going back to the Bob Feller days. Bob Feller, of course, Hall of Fame pitcher, great pitcher for the Cleveland Indians. They've come close a couple of times, 95 and 97. 95 lost to a great Atlanta Braves team, that Albert Bell team, Jim Tomei. Manny Ramirez was a young player in 6 games. Then 2 years later, the heartbreaker, of course, to the Edgar Renteria game 7. Jose Mesa blowing the save as they lost to the Florida Marlins. I have a feeling, again, regardless of what happens in the National League, that it's Cleveland's year, and they're going to win a championship. I like this team a lot coming into the postseason. Their pitching is tremendous. They get enough clutch hitting. They don't have to score. Listen, when you have dominant pitching, you don't have to score a lot of runs. You just don't. I mean, those Yankees teams that won championships in the 90s, look at some of the scores of those games. Those teams were not great offensive teams. They got clutch hits. Led by the likes of Bernie Williams, Derek Jeter, Tino Martinez, and company, and they were dominant pitching, especially with the bullpen. They had very good starters, but they had dominant bullpen. You know, with the likes of Mariano Rivera leading the way, and John Wetland, and Romero Mendoza. That's all you need in the postseason. And look, Kansas City won a championship last year with their bullpen, and their bullpen was that dominant. So Cleveland advanced to the World Series. Right now, it is basically, 20 and counting for the Chicago Cubs. The Chicago Cubs have not scored against the Dodgers in 20 innings and counting, top of the third, 0-0. Adrian Gonzalez just got thrown out at the plate. I thought he was safe. The replays showed to me that he was safe, but, baseball, kind of like the NFL, gotten NFL-ish in terms of if the call is made on the field it's pretty going to be pretty hard to overturn. So they called him out on the field. They chose to stay with that call, and they and he was called out, and it cost the Dodgers a run. I thought he was safe. I thought he got under the tag. I thought the tag was high, but regardless of this, you know, this is a Dodgers type of game. Nothing, low scoring, pitching. Chicago wants to turn it into a shootout, so to speak, a shootout. But right now, this series is being dictated by the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's all there is to it. And you have to go back to that game two start with Clayton Kershaw was masterful. And if they go on to win this series, you look no further than that game two start with Clayton Kershaw. To me, reversed any, you know, postseason jinx or curse that he had had over the course of his career. You can't say anything bad about Clayton Kershaw after that game two postseason start, after that game two start against the Cubs, who have one of the best offenses in baseball. He was dominant. Rich Hill followed up in game three with an almost as equally dominant performance. But right now, the Dodgers are rolling up 2-1 in the series. All the pressure in the world is on the Cubs. Again, I told you this time last week, it might have been last Wednesday or Tuesday, I did not like the Cubs celebrating on the Giants' home field the way they were celebrating, posing for pictures, posing for pictures with the shirt respect on it, acting like they have won a championship. And again, they've come in this series, and I've seen this a million times in baseball. You can have the better team on paper. You can have the most talented team. It does not always equate to winning a championship, even if you get into the postseason. It really doesn't. I've seen many of teams in baseball get taken out by a hot pitcher, a great bullpen, some bad managing, and next thing you know, you're at home for a long offseason. So the Cubs better get it together in this game four, or it's going to be a disaster. It'll be an embarrassment for the Cubs not to get to the World Series. Utter embarrassment. 0-0, nothing, top of the third, two outs, Chris Bryant at the plate. We'll see what happens in game four of the NLCS. Of course, the Cleveland Indians have already punched their ticket to a World Series, which will begin next Tuesday. They get a chance to get their pitching staff settled in, rested, their bullpen rested. And again, Cleveland, just shout out to Cleveland, Terry Francona, who is trying to win a championship with his second franchise. Of course, he won two championships with Boston. It did not end well in Boston, so it was sweet for him to eliminate Boston and get to the World Series, where he has a chance to win a third championship as a manager. Pushed all the right buttons, knows how to manage players, and has done a tremendous job with this Indians ball club, which is shorthanded in their own right without the likes of Salazar and Carrasco and also their star center fielder, Michael Brantley. 347-215-6180 is your call number when we return. The league where no contract is guaranteed. We'll talk NFL and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Dodgers continue to baffle the Cub hitters. Of course, there's a runner on right now. Chris Bryant reached. Anthony Rizzo's up right now with Bryant at the plate. Nothing. Top of the third as the Chicago Cubbies looking to even the series at 2-2. I have a feeling it's going to be a 7-game series. I really do. I don't think the Dodgers are going anywhere. They're a feisty team. They're a mentally tough team. They're well managed by Dave Roberts, who, of course, had that famous, one of the most famous steals in postseason history in that game four at game four when Boston turned his fate around against New York Yankees in the 04 LCS and had the greatest comeback in postseason history, down 3-0 to win a dramatic and classic series. It was his steal. You remember that Dave Roberts steal that led to the winning run. And again, led to basically history. That catapulted. I believe it was off Mariano, the great Mariano Rivera. Urias has just struck out Anthony Rizzo, who hasn't done anything in this postseason. I mean, Rizzo has been horrible in this postseason. Excellent player, but has had a bad postseason. As always, we begin the NFL league where no contract is guaranteed with the game of the week. Atlanta falling to Seattle 26-24. Atlanta drops to 4-2. Seattle improves to 4-1. I almost feel bad for Atlanta because they really deserved, could have easily won this game. We'll just get right to it. Like, you can't, if you're an official in the NFL, and I don't really like to go too crazy about officiating in the NFL or any sport, but the non-pass interference call that should have been called against Julio Jones was just so egregious that it's one of those calls. And again, I'm not rooting for Atlanta. I'm not rooting for Seattle. It was a great game. It was a well-played game for the most part. Atlanta played extremely well, coming back from 17-3 to take a lead. But it was one of the worst non-pass interference calls that you ever see. I don't see how you can grab a guy's elbow, pull a guy's arm as he is trying to catch the ball, as the ball's in the air, before the ball reaches him, and that not be pass interference. If that's not pass interference, I don't know what is pass interference, to be honest with you. That is it was an egregious call, and you can't miss a call like that. I mean, that's a big game. Those two teams could be fighting it out for, home field advantage in the playoffs. Those are two teams that are going to be, injuries withstanding, those are two teams that are going to be in the playoffs. Those are two teams that are going to be contenders in the NFC. I mean, that game could easily be for home field advantage within those teams. That is a conference game. And in essence, Atlanta is down to Seattle basically a game and a half. Okay? One game in the loss column, and of course, one game in the loss column, and of course, one game in terms of the tiebreaker. So you can't miss that call if you're an official in that spot. Julio Jones, 7 catches, 139 yards, had a big day. Matt Ryan played well. Again, Atlanta, I was very impressed. If you're Atlanta, you will take 1-1. You'll take a split at Denver, at Seattle. You'll take that in a heartbeat. But I can make a case they should have been 2-0 in that situation. Again, Seattle, which really has not played great. And that's the scary part about Seattle right now. They're 4-1. They haven't even played great. Continue to move on, continue to press on, and certainly they're going to be heard from moving forward in that NFC. And now in the NFC West, that division has cleared out for Seattle. I mean, the Rams, Arizona, we know San Francisco is terrible. That is Seattle's division to lose, regardless of what happened, regardless of what's going on in terms of what's going on with Arizona. I know they won this week, but Seattle is, heads and shoulders are better than anybody in that division right now. So Atlanta falls to 4-2. Seattle improves to 4-1. Dallas takes out Green Bay 30-16 at Lambeau Field. Dallas improves to 5-1. Green Bay falls to 3-2. I guess the story in this game depends on which team you are rooting for. If you are a Green Bay Packer fan, the story has to be what is wrong with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay offense. Another just awful performance by the Green Bay offense. Actually, I shouldn't say the entire offense, because the offensive line has continued to give Rodgers an eternity to throw football. That offensive line, outside of the Dallas offensive line, Green Bay's offensive line is clearly the second best offensive line in football. He could read a book in the pocket as much time he gets to throw back there. I mean, their pass protection, they have the best pass protection in football right now, I feel. But it has not mattered throughout the course of this season. And I'll say this, I'm as big of an Aaron Rodgers fan as there is outside of being a Packer fan. That was the worst Aaron Rodgers' performance that I've ever seen. That's the worst game I've ever seen him play. And don't look at the numbers. 31-42, 294, a touchdown, one interception. The numbers are okay. But it was, you know, how many open receivers did he miss? How many touchdowns did he miss? I mean, he overthrew Randall Cobb by like 10 yards in the end zone. He almost hit the stand, basically threw the ball in the stands. He was missing guys left and right. Had the fumbles, you know, was stripped one time on a big play at 20-6 that would have cut the lead to 20-13 in the third quarter. I thought the biggest sequence in the game was at the end of the first half when Green Bay seemingly could have been going there for a field goal, but allowed Dallas to get the ball back, and Dallas basically went the length of the field in about three plays. So right now that offense is just all over the place. And again, I talked about this with Robert Sapp last week. There is a disconnect with McCarthy and with Aaron Rodgers. And I'm telling you right now, I know there have been some whispers and some talk about it over the past couple of days. If this doesn't get fixed, even if they make the playoffs, let's say they go 9-7, 10-6, if their offense doesn't get fixed and we don't see the Aaron Rodgers that we've been accustomed to seeing over the course of the better part of his career, or basically his entire career, it's gonna be bye bye Mike McCarthy. And you know why they'll sell it as kind of like, you know, I can remember when Pat, you know, sometimes, you know, 10 years, 11 years, that's a long time to be coaching a football team. That's how they'll sell it. Like, hey, things are getting stale, new voice, change of pace. You know, you're not going to trade Aaron Rodgers. You can't, you know, you can't fire players. And again, there's no way that offense should look the way it looks. You have the most gifted quarterback in the sport, period. You have the most gifted player in the sport. You have a top offensive line. You have a Pro Bowl caliber running back. You have quality wide receivers. Maybe Jordy Nelson's not the player he was in 2014, but he's still a legit number one. You have some nice, you know, complimentary receivers and Cobb and Davante Adams and a couple of those other guys, Ty Montgomery, whatever. I mean, it's not lacking talent. That's one thing I've heard a couple of days. This week, well, the roster isn't what it was, and Thompson's missed on draft picks. Nonsense. That roster is a Super Bowl caliber roster. Period. They're banged up in the secondary, as we all know. But once they get those guys back, that defense will be a legit top 10 defense. That's a championship. You can win a championship with that defense. We know how good they are in the front seven. Dallas will run against everybody this year. That's how dominant that offensive line is. They'll run against everybody. So I'm not going to go crazy about them having 190 yards against Green Bay. Green Bay's defense is very good. But right now, that offense is in another, you know, zip code. That offense is lost right now. And to me, it has to start with the head coach. It has to. Aaron Rodgers is not injured. I don't know if any, you know, mental issues that Rodgers is having right now. Look at the game and look at Rodgers' body language. And I'm one, you know, I deal in a profession where I have to look at body language for basically 7 to 8 hours a day. He did not look happy on the field. I mean, and Rodgers is a cocky, you know, he's a cocky SOB on the field. I mean, this guy is as confident as they come. He had this lost look in his eyes. I mean, he did not look sure of himself, I think, the first time in his career. And to me, it was for the first time I've seen Rodgers look like what that looked like, have a look like, what the hell is going on here? What are we doing? He had that look on his face for the majority of the game, if not all the entire game. Now, the flip side is, you're a Dallas Cowboy fan. You have the best offensive line in football. I feel like the best unit in football, in my opinion. That's how dominant the offensive line is. You have a quarterback situation that I still think, I'm telling you right now, they're going to find a way. Jerry Jones is going to find a way to screw it up. I'm telling you right now, he's going to mess around, start Tony Romo, and he's going to screw up the season. I could just see it. I could see it. Because, I mean, to me, I'm starting Dak Prescott until I see him, you know, fall on his face. I'll push Tony Romo's injury back, you know, 2 weeks if I had to. They're 5-1. They're rolling. Prescott's in complete control of the offense without question. I mean, he looks like a 10-year veteran out there. He does not make bad plays. He's poised, takes what the defense gives him, So I think the decision is easy that, you know, you don't mess with what's been working for you over the course of six games. So Dallas will have a couple of weeks to think about that. They have a bye this week. Then they'll meet the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday Night Football in a couple of weeks. We'll see what happens. I don't think Roman will play that Philadelphia game, by the way. But, you know, Dallas is very good right now. The defense is improving. And, again, they're playing it right. They'll just, you know, play the game around your offensive line. Run the football. Protect your defense. You know, don't get too cute with the passing game. They still don't have Dez Bryant. And they're not asking Dak Prescott to do a lot. And you don't need to ask him to do a lot. Just ask him, just hand the ball to Ezekiel Elliott. And you'll be, and don't make mistakes. And don't make a dumb, you know, don't throw dumb interceptions. That's all you have to do. It's not that hard. So Dallas 5-1 atop the NFC East. The Green Bay Packers fall to 3-2, second place behind the still undefeated Minnesota Vikings, who of course had a bye week. 347-215-6180 is the call number. When we return, we'll talk about the Washington Grudens on this edition of the Cyril Gerald Gordon Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Seven 215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Sports Podcast as we continue to look at week six of the NFL season. Pretty good weekend of pretty good Sunday of football. Of course, you had a surprisingly good Sunday night game. The Monday night game is a joke. You know, the Jets are a mess. We'll talk about that later on in the program. Houston, Indianapolis. But the DC Grudens, 4-2, and take out the Philadelphia Eagles 27-20 to improve to 4-2. Eagles fall to 3-3. All of a sudden, you know, Carson Wentz looks human, though it wasn't his fault. He had no chance in that game with the offensive line. They couldn't protect them. Didn't really feel the Eagles didn't have the ball. You know, this game probably should not have been as close as it was. The Redskins again left some points on the board. Had some, you know, gave up 2 9 offensive touchdowns. But again, the defense played extremely well, only gave up 6 points. Did not, for the fourth straight game, amazingly. I never thought I would say this over the course of this season, the way the defense is playing. They have not given up a second half touchdown in four straight games. And I think that's just, when I heard it, I didn't believe it. Even after four straight wins, I was like, this can't be right. I had to go look it up for myself. But they have not, the defense has not given up a second half touchdown four straight weeks. And I was thinking about this with the Redskins. You know, as I watch these bumbling franchises, you know, i.e. New York Jets, Cleveland Browns, the Redskins were once in their boat not too long ago. But when you have continuity, when you have a, you know, a philosophy and a belief in your philosophy, you can survive a bad quarter of football. You can survive 0-2. You can survive a couple of Kirk Cousins pick sixes. You know, you can survive Kirk Cousins not being as accurate as he was last year. You can survive a defense that, you know, has not stopped the run all year long. You know, the Redskins have survived. You can survive some injuries. D'Angelo Hall, Breland, who's back, who missed a couple of games. Sue Cravens, injuries on the offensive line. See, you can survive the storms, when you have a foundation to fall back on. And that's something the Washington Redskins have not had, you know, for a long time. And that's something that they are starting to build. This is year three with Gruden, continuity. Players know the coach is not going to get, players know the coach is going to be around for a couple of years. Year two with McLuhan, he's had, you know, that 2015 draft is looking like, that 2015 draft is looking like, you know, something that you can build from with the likes of Matt Jones and company. You know, Trent Murphy. Excuse me, Preston Smith, not Trent Murphy, Preston Smith, Crowder, Jamison Crowder. I mean, that draft is looking better and better as the weeks go by. And right now, the Washington Redskins have they're building a foundation. You know, you don't hear none of the nonsense, none of that chatter about I'm not getting the ball or none of the gossiping in the locker room. You only got guys, you know, complaining. Now, again, the Kirk Cousins stuff, that got shut down quickly by a couple of players who were calling out other players by name, not by name, but who were calling out players for anonymous quotes. So that got shut down quickly. The coach backs Kirk Cousins, even despite what he said a couple of weeks ago. But again, they know that that coach is going to be around for a couple more years. They know that. And when you have that security as a coach, you can start holding guys accountable. There's no more, guys going straight to Daniel Snyder's office because they're not happy with the coach. You know, when is the last time you heard that? Redskins are in pretty good shape right now. Again, the schedule's still brutal. You hope that they can get to Dallas Thanksgiving afternoon at 6-4. Maybe 7-3. You hope. We'll see what happens. 347-215-6180 is your call number. We'll be right back on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Back to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Chicago up 1-0. Top of the fourth, they finally break that scoreless streak. We'll see what happens. We'll see how long the Reds goes, finally giving up some runs. Second and third with no outs. If he can get out this inning with giving up only two runs, they should be in decent shape. Decent. Anything more than that, I don't know if they can score. I don't, Chicago is a very good bullpen, and Dodgers don't have a big time offense. So we'll see how many runs he can come out here unscathed after just giving up one run. Again, no outs, running on second, third, Hayward's at the plate, Chicago up 1-0. Giants over Baltimore 27-23, a game that the Giants absolutely had to have. Both teams are at 3-3. Giants snapping their three-game losing streak. Baltimore now has lost three straight. I told you weeks ago, last week and the week before, that Baltimore was a fraudulent team. That they were not as good as their 2-0 record or their 3-0 record indicates, and that they easily could be staring at 6-10, 7-9. I would lean towards 6-10. Again, this game the Giants had to have. The Giants don't have an easy schedule either. But, as usual with the New York Giants, the story is not what happened on the field, but the story is what happened on the sideline and compliments of one Odell Beckham, who seemingly is becoming a caricature of himself with his antics on the sideline. Odell Beckham is as talented as it is, might be the most physically gifted, talented receiver in football right now. But Odell Beckham right now is about Odell Beckham. if you notice, and right, you know, the celebrations have gotten just weird at this point. Like, you're proposing to a field goal net. I mean, when he did it the first time, a couple of weeks ago, when he hugged the net, that was fine. Making fun of him, you thought he was making fun of himself. I don't know what the intent was, but you can look at it as, hey, you're making fun of himself after kicking the field goal net and hitting it, and of course, knock him in the head. But now, the stuff has just gotten out of control. I mean, he's, the guy, Cubs up 2-0, Jason Hayward driving a run home with a sacrifice fly. But now, Beckham has gotten, a sacrifice ground out, excuse me. These celebrations, it's not even like scoring a touchdown is not enough for this guy. It's not enough that you caught 8 passes for 222 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's not enough. The performance is not enough, and he was tremendous in that game. They needed every single touchdown. They needed every single yard to take out Baltimore and not fall to 2-4. But I mean, but you're doing these celebrations, and if you notice these celebrations that he does, there's nobody involved in them but him. He does not celebrate with the team. Look at what Seattle did with Richard Sherman on Sunday. Richard Sherman came off the field, got cursed out by Cam Chancellor because he blew a coverage. Somebody blew a coverage on the Julio Jones' 75-yard touchdown catch. So they got on the sideline. Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, who did not play, but Cam Chancellor is an all-pro player, has a kind of cachet to come at Richard Sherman. They're arguing. A couple of minutes later, the team is trying to get Richard Sherman, back into it, and starts, chanting. I guess I don't know what they were chanting, but they were jumping up and down. I guess they would call themselves gathering themselves, trying to pick them up, whatever. That's a team that has won a championship and has been to 2 Super Bowls. That's a team, but they're doing it as a team, a defense, okay, a unit. And they weren't celebrating either. That was just, I guess that was kind of like trying to, pull your brother up who had gotten torched by one Julio Jones. Odell Beckham stuff, his antics are by himself. They are by himself. The celebrations are by himself. As the Cubs look like they're about to go up 4-0. Yeah, that is a 2-run home run by Addison Russell. Cubs up 4-0. Finally have broken the Dodger pitching curse and have gotten loose offensively. So Addison Russell, 2-run home run. Cubs up 4-0. Big inning for the Cubbies. Top of the fourth, one out. But my point is about Odell Beckham. Everything is not about the team or the Giants. It's about him. It's about him. This is a guy. Listen, you haven't won anything. This is year 3 of Odell Beckham. The team has not been to a playoffs since he got on the team, and I'm not blaming him for that. But my point is, he hasn't won anything. Like it used to be back in the day, before you could celebrate, before you can get commercials and all this stuff, you had to win something. Now we celebrate guys, celebrate athletes, football players, without winning. You don't have to do anything. You can become an Instagram star overnight. And again, I'm just not questioning Odell Beckham's talent. We know how talented he is, but bottom line is he needs to grow up. He needs to grow up. And, at some point, it's going to get annoying if he keeps on making it about him, more about him and less about the team. 347-215-6180 is call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast, and as we review NFL Week 6, Cubs up 4-0, Cleveland in the World Series. There you go with the baseball as the Cubs. Again, the Cubs finally get loose offensively, and that's going to be all for one Urenas as he, goes 3 2/3, 4 runs, gets knocked around. Young pitcher will have a bright future, but, this is the postseason. We've seen better pitchers have, we've seen better pitchers than him struggle in the postseason. Pittsburgh falls to Miami 30-15. Pittsburgh falls to 4-2. Miami improves to 2-4. Again, Pittsburgh seemingly has one of these, at least 2 or 3 of these a year, where they lose games and they have no business losing. I did not see this game coming. I know Roethlisberger left the game with an injury, but he still played the majority of the game. Pittsburgh was lost in this game. I mean, Pittsburgh had nothing in this game. They allowed a guy who, you know, unless you play fantasy football, you probably hadn't heard of Ajayi run for 200 yards rushing. And again, the Pittsburgh defense that is known for their run defense, their run stopping defense, it's very hard to run on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, the book on their defense is you're going to try to throw against them. This guy has over 200 yards rushing. I'm sure fantasy owners just, you know, went nuts in terms of picking him up. I wouldn't touch him after just one game. Again, Pittsburgh has a couple of these a season. Big news coming out of this game, of course, we know about Ben Roethlisberger's injury with the meniscus, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. You never know with this guy. I mean, he can come back, and I wouldn't be surprised if he came back in 2-3 weeks. I would be shocked if he's out 6 weeks. I really would. I don't, you know, he's a tough guy, you know, heals fast. But right now, Pittsburgh is going to have to at least miss the next 2 weeks without him. I guess, you know, we'll see what they do in terms of the quarterback position. We'll see if they go out and get a quarterback. It'll be, assuming it'll be Landry Jones as a starter, and you know, good luck with that. I'm sure you're going to see a lot of Le'Veon Bell. This is when Antonio Brown numbers could get hurt, but you're going to see a lot of Le'Veon Bell touching the ball. Very easy to get him the football. I think the most complete running back in all of football. Bad loss for Pittsburgh. I mean, you know, I think Pittsburgh is a Super Bowl contender, but you can't lose games like this to Miami. I don't care where the game is at. So we'll see what happens to them in week 7. They had the New England Patriots, and that, you know, Roethlisberger could not get hurt at a worse time facing a red hot New England team. And again, New England just continues to roll, knocking out Cincinnati 35-17. Cincinnati actually played well in the first half. They were able to get some pressure on Brady and do some things in terms of that. But Andy Dalton got off to a relatively hot start. But second half, again, like most great teams do, the adjustments were made. Gronk got loose. Brady went crazy. And next thing you know, it's 35-17. New England just continues to roll. And to me, continually just shows themselves as the favorite in the AFC. Cincinnati, listen, I think Cincinnati has reached that point where teams who have a short window in terms of winning a championship reach that don't win a championship. We've seen it in other sports. I think Cincinnati has taken a step back, and they're not as good as they were last year. They're not as good as they were 2 years ago. I don't think Cincinnati is making the playoffs, to be honest with you. I don't think they're making the playoffs. We know how much talent they have. They still have some players, but sometimes, you know, last year could have been their year. I mean, I've been very interested to see them if Andy Dalton had been healthy. I thought they were very good last year, and they had no business losing that playoff game to Pittsburgh at home. And you know, you wonder how that has affected them moving forward into this season. Sometimes these losses hang over you, especially in the Super Bowl games. But you know, they didn't even get that far. But that was a brutal playoff loss. Cincinnati, again, I think it's taking a step back from what they were last year. They fall to the New England Patriots. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, top 5 quarterbacks and look ahead to week 7 on this edition of Cyril Joe Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Is your call number. Bias is in the game for the Dodgers. 4-0, 2 outs. Hard thrower. We'll see if the Dodgers can mount a comeback here. But again, 4 runs is a lot against that Cubs pitching staff. Once they get to the sixth inning, they all they need is 5 out of Lackey. Realistically, their bullpen should be fresh, relatively fresh. And, you know, once they get to that bullpen, they're very difficult to deal with. Cubs have to have this game in the worst way, coming off, you know, back-to-back losses to the Dodgers. Again, I think this is going to be a very long series. I can see this going 7 games. So, And before this game, Kershaw was not ruled out for game five. Now, I think that this outcome will push Kershaw. I think Kershaw will pitch game five. I really do. I think Kershaw will pitch game five. Had the Cubs won and went up, excuse me, had the Dodgers won and went up 3-1, then I think you would have saw Kershaw possibly in the game six if it had gone that far. But now I think you will see Kershaw go in game five if the Cubs if this score holds and the Cubs win to tie the series. The Jets fall to Arizona 28-3. This was not much of a game at all. The Jets offense, again, looks like one of the worst offenses in the league. And as a result, they're going to change their quarterback. Now, I found it very curious after the game, because Geno Smith replaced Ryan Fitzpatrick with about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. After the game, you know, Todd Bowles goes up, you know, in front of the cameras and basically says, "Hey, Ryan's our guy. I treated this like kind of like a relief pitcher, but, you know, Fitz is our guy for next week." Then the following day, he started backtracking on Tuesday. And then, of course, today he says, it makes it official that Geno Smith is going to be the starting quarterback for week seven. Again, you know, we talked about stability, continuity. We talked about franchises having a clue. Right now, the Jets franchise does not have a clue. They have some talented players at certain positions, but to be honest with you, their offense, they don't have a quarterback. And, you know, and that's why I laugh at Redskins fans who knock Kirk Cousins. I'm like, you're knocking Kirk Cousins, but your quarterback, you know, you could have Geno Smith. You know, that can give you, or you could be like Cleveland and not have a quarterback at all. So, you know, before you knock a guy like Kirk Cousins, remember some other teams who would love to have a Kirk Cousins on their team. And the Jets are certainly one of those teams. Jets, you know, the Jets are a lost franchise right now. Anybody who's watched Geno Smith knows that Geno Smith is not the answer, and just goes to show you that they didn't have real faith in Fitzpatrick to begin with, and that Fitzpatrick, they just basically signed him because they, you know, there were no other better options to be out there. So he gets the 1 year, gets $12 million, and I'm sure that after the season they will probably move on without him. But again, the Jets don't have a quarterback. You can see before the season's over, you probably will see Bryce Petty. You probably will see Hackenberg out of Penn State, and I'm sure you'll probably see Ryan Fitzpatrick again. Right now, again, it is unfortunate. I do think Todd Bowles is a good football mind. I don't think he's a bad coach. I just think that, you know, Woody Johnson, that old organization, there's no stability. They don't have, you know, they don't have good football people. They really don't. They don't have the right people making the right. They have the wrong people making the right. They have the right, the wrong people making the right decisions, the wrong decisions, making the better, you know, making decisions that they should not be making in within their organization. And it lends itself to their current predicament. And that's it. That is not having a quarterback, because they don't. So it just fall at 1-5. And again, we've talked about their schedule being as tough as there is in the NFL to begin with, and as tough as I've seen in a long time to start off a season. But at a certain point, they're just not a good football team. Are they awful? Are they Cleveland awful? No, but they're just not any good, though. So it's not just the schedule that is the reason why they're 5-5. They're also just not a very good football team. They're just not. Top five teams of the week, I still have New England at number one. Minnesota coming in strong at number two. Seattle moves up to number three. And the Dallas Cowboys, it pains me to say this. Man, it pains me. The Dallas Cowboys at number five. Green Bay, Pittsburgh falling out of it. I really was impressed by Atlanta this week. I mean, I wanted to see what they were going to look like following a great win at Denver. And I was very impressed with their performance in a loss. And again, unfortunately, they got robbed. They got robbed with the call, the non-pass interference call. It happens, but it should not have happened in that late Sunday game. So I think, you know, right now, looking at teams that can win the Super Bowl and get to the Super Bowl, I still think they're about 5 or 6. I feel New England's won, Minnesota's won, Seattle. I don't think Atlanta can. And I'm starting to be more and more sold on Atlanta as a team that can get to a Super Bowl. I really am. I've been impressed by them. So they're about 4 or 5. Green Bay, I'm not counting Green Bay out, but I just don't know right now. I think that the Mike McCarthy tenure and shit is probably gonna come to an end. I think it's just gonna be one of those years where they take it where it could be they could be 8-8, 9-7, and next thing you know they're looking for a new coach. That's gonna wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Joel Quinn. Well, you know what? Before we wrap it up, I have to get to this real quick. I just thought about it. Listen, we talked about this case a couple weeks ago. Maybe it wasn't. I want to say last. No, probably 2 weeks ago in regards to Derrick Rose. And to nobody's surprise or shock, he got cleared. And I have no problem with him getting cleared. Nobody outside Derrick Rose, his friends, and that young lady knows what happened. And God knows what happened in that room that night in terms of him being accused of sexual assault. What I'll say, though, is can he answer some questions after he's been cleared in front of the courthouse? I mean, did you have that? Does your attorney have to answer all your questions? I mean, first the attorney says you have about a minute 30. You have about 90 seconds, and then doesn't let Derrick Rose answer any questions. Well, if you're going to do that, then why even bother? Why not just leave the courthouse and go about your merry way? Like, why even bother to do an interview outside the courthouse if you're not going to answer any questions? And it makes zero sense to me. And then you have Derrick Rose posing for pictures with jurors. I mean, jurors that just presided over the case. It's a strange situation. Again, that squeaky clean image that Derrick Rose had, that's gone. It's absolutely gone. We don't know what happened in that room, but that image is no more. That's going to wrap it up for this day's edition of the Cyril Joel Quinn Sports Podcast. This time we are actually leaving. Catch the next program next week. Hopefully we'll be back with one Robert Sapp and Chad Quinn. Have a great rest of the week. So long.